or they can be used for cursing, right? Our words can be speak life over ourselves and over our situations, but they can also be used to speak death and negativity. And our words simply have power. They have power. Before I go any further, I want to tell you a little humorous story. A man walks into a shoe store and he tries on a pair of shoes. And the clerk comes up to him and says, "Well, how do they feel? You know, how do they feel?" And the guy says, "You know what? They feel a bit tight. They feel a bit tight." And so the assistant, you know, promptly bends down. The shoe clerk bends down and he has a look at the shoes and he says to the man, he says, "Hey, why don't you try pulling on the tongue?" Offers the clerk. And the guy said, "No, they're still a little bit tight." Little joke for you. Dun-dun-dun. The tongue is a fascinating muscle. With it, our taste buds bring us pleasure by communicating with our brains if something's sweet, sour, spicy, or bitter. It shapes our thoughts from mere sounds into specific words. Words which are used in expressing emotion as well as communicating important information. Without the ability to properly communicate, life becomes extremely difficult and downright impossible. If you don't believe me, just ask a parent of a newborn, right? Ask a parent of a newborn. You know, we quickly learn that when a child cries, it could be one of many different scenarios. It could be that they're hungry or grumpy or in pain or simply in need of a diaper change, right? Or maybe just even attention, right? And then as they grow up into toddlers or little ones, you know, we learn that there's a couple of words that they use or phrases, the words like da, da, or right? And from a child, this can mean a variety of different things. Unless you have come up with the proper interpretation of what da and means, you're toast. And it's amazing how parents, especially the moms, kind of have this intuitive of knowing what that means. I mean, we have a little guy, but you know, he uses a quite huge vocabulary now. But I kind of like relate it to our dog, right? Our dog, you know, goes and rings the bell, right? She rings her little bell that hangs from her handle with her nose. She rings it. And so you kind of go through the checklist of what she's meaning. Okay, does she want out? You open the door and say, "Out?" And she looks at you and is like, "No, stupid. I want food." So you go to the food dish and you give her food. She's like, "No, I want the food on your plate." You know, or you go through a whole bunch of different things, right? And so I tell you, communication is very important. And without communication, our civilization would be doomed. Now, however, depending on what we are communicating with our tongues, life can be sabotaged and pain can be afflicted also. Our tongues also reveal what's going on inside of us. Tommy Nelson said the tongue is a bucket that drips into the well of a person's heart, right? And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to 35. He says, "Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart." Remember the old saying, "Sticks and stones will break your bones, but..." That's right. That's right. Man, I would like to beat that person with a stick. Because the opposite is true. Is sticks and stones, yes, they will break your bones, but names have the capacity of piercing the soul. Piercing the soul. Not only piercing the soul, but assassination of a character. It can destroy a relationship and crush a spirit. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, and he was the half-brother of Jesus, and same mother, different father kind of situation. You thought things were complicated now. They were even complicated back then. I tried explaining all that. But anyways, James said this, the half-brother of Jesus. He said in James chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Our tongues, though they're small, when out of control, can destroy anything in its path. For example, back in 1871, a small spark in the O'Leary barn in Chicago set blaze that engulfed the entire city, that left 100,000 homeless, claimed over 300 lives, and destroyed 17,000 buildings, and incurred approximately $400 million in damage just from a spark. Though we have the ability to bless God and others with our tongue, we also have the ability to spew venom and destroy lives. Let's consider our culture for a moment. From media on TV to media online, from the locker room to the playing field, from our homes and to our schools, getting ambushed by the weight of words. We're getting ambushed by the weight of words, and each and every day, depending on the selection of words that come out of our mouth, we're either esteeming others or we're demeaning others. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3 says this: who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Anybody remember the old Disney movie Bambi, right? One of my favorite characters on there was Thumper, his furry little bunny friend. And what was that one line that everybody remembers in Thumper and every parent adores in Thumper? Is, if you can't say not nice, don't say nothing at all. Right? You guys got that. Now, this is something that, you know, you've probably learned while growing up. And if you're parents now, you've probably taught your children that as well. And maybe some of you, a sparse few, would have wished your husbands or your wives would have learned this as well while growing up. But anyways, that's a whole other subject. If you need marriage counseling, my office is always open. We'll lead you through Symbus. It'll be great. We'll save your marriage after it's already started. All right? So I don't know what that would be called. You'll figure out the acronym there, eh, Mulaney? Awesome. Anyways. But anyways, the Bible mentions many kinds of different tongues, and I'll give you a list of them up here on the stage, on the screen here. And if this is something that you're interested in looking at further, just snap a picture of the screen, because we'll be changing slides here in a bit. But you'll see all through Scripture that there's a flattering tongue, a proud tongue, a lying tongue, a deceitful tongue, a perverted tongue, a soothing tongue, a healing tongue, a destructive tongue, a mischievous tongue, a soft tongue, and a backbiting tongue. All through Scripture, you will see different kinds of tongues, right? And with our time remaining this morning, I want to share with you 5 D's of the tongue. 5 D's of the tongue. And the first one is the tongue distinguishes. The tongue distinguishes. And in James chapter 3, verse 2, it says this: indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Making a mistake can be like stumbling, right? Feet that stumble can bring a body crashing to the ground. I had a friend of mine when we were living in Lloydminster, he was going down into the basement. It was dark and he missed the last step and he stumbled. Ended up in a cast because he broke his leg because of a little stumble on the stairs, right? Amazing how much damage can happen after a little stumble. The word perfect means mature or complete. Spiritual maturity is directly related to these words we speak. If we're able to control our tongues, then it reveals the maturity and wisdom that is in our life. The opposite is true as well. If we can't hold our tongues, then it reveals our immaturity. In James chapter 1, verse 19, in the latter half of the verse, it says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Have you ever wondered why God gave you 2 ears but only 1 mouth? Perhaps it's because we're to listen twice as much as we speak, right? Twice as much as we speak. It's kind of like that old carpenter tale: measure twice, cut once, right? Measure twice, cut once. And so I think if we were to listen twice as hard and not be quick to speak, then maybe we would be able to guard our lips even more. If we're going to grow, mature spiritually, we must learn how to guard our lips. It means learning some priority skills. Professional athletes have to train hard to become disciplined in order to compete. In order to be the best of the best, they have to protect or perfect their skills and set their priorities accordingly. And some of them are learning very quickly that you must become disciplined not only on the field, but off the field. Right? Just ask the Saskatchewan Roughriders and a couple of their guys with the conduct off the field and how they're getting punished for it and stuff. It's not just on the field, it's off the field that's important as well. And I don't say that with the Roughriders tongue-in-cheekly. That's my favorite team, but you know, I got to own up to some stuff, right? But we have to discipline ourselves. We have to discipline ourselves in order to compete. And not only to compete on the field, but also to win at life as well. Live so you need to be disciplined. And to master the tongue requires discipline, and it requires training and also time. Right? The word control means to have the power to influence or direct. Like a bridle on a horse, an expert horseman knows how to rein in a horse, how to control its every movement. In the same manner, we are to learn discernment so that we can learn to control our words in conversation. Know when to speak and when to listen. Now listen, no one is perfect at this, and there's a high probability that within these walls of this church, out in the mouths of Jesus' followers, there's going to come words that would have been best unsaid. Why? Because none of us is perfect. None of us is perfect, especially me. Especially me. If I had a nickel for every dumb thing I've said, I'd be a very rich man right now. And I'm sorry if I've tarnished your image of me, right? But I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Those that know me well know that I'm not perfect. Mulaney knows especially I'm not perfect, right? And that. But hey, I want to welcome you to Abundant Life Chapel this morning, because this is the home of hashtag no perfect person, right? None of us are perfect. None of us. Now, I want you to turn to somebody that's beside you and say, I'm glad I'm not perfect. And then turn to the other person and say, and I know that you're not perfect. It's okay to have a little fun in church, right? Something I want to address, however, just because we're not perfect doesn't give us the license to be careless with our words. We're to be diligent, striving to be better so that we may be a good reflection of the God we serve. Just like my sons who try to copy the way I brush my teeth in the morning, they try to emulate their father. We should want to emulate our Heavenly Father in every way. Paul, a first century follower of Jesus, wrote this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finished, and on the day when Christ returns, right? We are all works in progress. We're all works in progress. No one's perfect, and we don't expect you to be perfect here at Abundant Life. However, God loves you, and we love you too much to leave you where you're at. We love you too much. A good loving parent doesn't leave a child just where it's at. A loving parent is going to train and bring up their child in the way that they should be trained, so that they will learn and that they will become wonderful human beings on this earth and good reflections of the God they serve. We are all works in progress. Number two, the tongue directs. And in James chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. With a small bit in the mouth of a 2,000, 3,000-pound stallion, a 95-pound jockey can control that horse. The RMS Queen Mary sailed primarily in the Northern Atlantic Ocean from 1836 to 1967. This ship weighed over 81,000 tons and could hold 2,139 passengers. The anchor alone was equal to that of 10 cars, yet a relatively small rudder directed this huge ocean liner, keeping it on course. Just like the bit in the mouth of a horse or a rudder at the tail end of the ship, our tongues set course for the entire body. In this case, size doesn't matter. There's a story about a young man who went to a priest and confessed that he had shared a slanderous tale about someone. The priest responded by telling this young man to put a feather on the doorstep of every house in town. And the young man did just that, believing that he would have to do more to receive forgiveness. He returned to the priest and asked, "What do I need to do next?" To which the priest replied, "I want you to go back and pick up every feather." And the man said, "Well, that's impossible." He says, "By now the wind has blown them all over town." To which the priest replied, "So have your slanderous words become impossible to retrieve." A few weeks ago, we did a Man Takeover Sunday downstairs, and we were talking about respect. You remember, Chris? And your illustration was fantastic. It was on point. And it was about our words, right? And he had a tube of toothpaste there, and he would give the toothpaste tube a squirt, and it was like our words that come out. But once our words have come out, well, then try and stuff that toothpaste back in. You can't. You may be able to get a little bit, but you can't take back the majority of your words, right? Once they're out there, they're out there. It was a wonderful illustration. Chris, thank you for your creative mind at Kingdom Kids for coming up with that. Amazing, right? That our words, once they're out there, it's like anything on cyberspace, right? You put something on the internet, it is out there. Right? It is out there. The tongue is like a bit or a router for our body. If you tame it and guard it, it will serve you and guide you well. But if you misuse it and neglect it, it will destroy your character and credibility. Number three, the tongue destroys. The tongue destroys. Our words are like a sulfur match awaiting a strike. Years ago, when we were in Saskatchewan district, there was a couple of guys who, a couple of students, they had their license. They were like 16, 17 years old and loving life. And it was really fun because they had these Roman candles and they thought it was really kind of cool that as they're driving down the highway, hey, let's just fire off a couple from inside the vehicle. And so they fired off these Roman candles. And they were having such a great time, except it was one of the driest summers on record. And there was a huge fire ban in place, and they ended up setting off a forest fire that nearly wiped out the Pentecostal Bible camp, Living Waters, and the nearby ranch next door. These boys got into huge trouble, all because of a spark. A spark. Just a simple spark can ignite a raging fire that destroys anything in its path, and our words can do the same. Our words, when used carelessly, can cause an offense and crush a person's spirit. Sometimes we tolerate a bit of fire in our speech, thinking it can do no harm, but the fire spreads quickly and often before we realize it, or even without our knowledge. And after the fire has done its damage, it doesn't matter whether it was intentional or not, it's still out there. Now, some of us will say something offensive and just say, "Oh, just kidding," or "just jokes," right? My personal favorite, not really, is "no offense, but," or "I'm sorry, but." If you're not sorry, don't use the word sorry, okay? If you're gonna say "I'm sorry" and then criticize, stop it right now. Stop it right now. You're not sorry. Right? You're not sorry. And if you're going to say, "no offense, but," listen, buts are only good for two things. And I don't need to go into explanation what "but" is for, right? But I'll tell you this. Saying "no offense" and then saying whatever you want, you're still responsible for it. So if that person gets offended by you saying no offense, but listen, that's on you. That's on you, right? You're not off the hook. You're not off the hook. Just thought I'd throw that out there. It's not really, you know, it was in my notes, by the way, so it's not for free, all right? But I'll tell you, all it takes is a little spark. And I know that words can hurt. And words can do unmentionable things. I don't know how old the little girl was from Rosener, with 11 or 12, bullied horrendously. I think even cyberbullied as well. Ended her life before the school year began. Ended her life. She had so much life to live because of the words of others. Words of others. Our words matter. My favorite commercial of all time. I mean, this is the best commercial that I think shows the power of words, as a young girl walking down a school corridor and going to her locker, and then three girls come in down, walking down, and they're and the words are coming out of their mouth, and the words are coming down and knocking the books out of this girl's hand and throwing her to the ground. That's how powerful our words. And these girls just walked by, didn't even lay a hand on her, and she's lying on the ground, feeling hopeless. Why? Because our words can destroy. Our words can destroy. Listen, parents. Don't ever call your children brats or monsters or anything like that. Because what you speak into their lives when they're little, that's what they think they are. I wonder if we would walk into the prisons right now, Bernie, and ask and take a poll, right, of how many guys had negative words spoken over their lives. Right? Yeah. They would all say, yeah, my parents called me a monster. My parents called me like this or that. And that's exactly right. Words hurt. They hurt. And all it takes is a spark. Maybe we should all wear signs saying, caution, life is a combustible commodity. Please douse your tongue. I've thought about this as I was preparing. You know, if the tongue is like a fire, isn't it kind of interesting that where our tongue resides is a lot of moisture and water? Right? A lot of saliva all gathered there. Maybe that's where it should stay. Because as soon as the mouth opens, it's like the flames come shooting out. Right? And so there are three tongue sparks that ignite roaring fires that destroy lives. Gossip. R.G. Letourneau, the owner of a large earth-moving company, tells a story of owning a scraper known as the Model G. Someone once inquired what the G stood for, upon which he said, stands for gossip, because this machine moves a lot of dirt and moves it fast. In the Old Testament, gossip means whispering that is damaging. In the New Testament, gossip conveys the idea that a secret attack on a person's character. Gossiping involves taking information from one and giving it to others, betraying confidential trust. The next spark is lies. St. Augustine said this, when regard for the truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all things will remain doubtful. Liars chip away at the bedrock of truth, which in turn weakens trust and confidence in every relationship into which non-truth is injected. Truth-telling has fallen upon hard times, and we have white lies, black lies, and little gray lies in between. Joseph Stolwell, the president of Moody Bibles Institute, said this. He said, our culture has shifted to the ethics of expediency and self-advancement, so falsehood is not only tolerated but even encouraged in many cases. Think about it this way. Truth aligns us with God, and because God himself is truth, and Jesus is the embodiment of truth, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with this truth, which means this, when we receive truth into our lives, we are called out to reflect the truth in our words and our actions. Now, lying comes in several flavors, right? There's The slide of the hand lies. This includes deceit and false witness. These kind of lies tamper with the truth to manipulate it and distort the reality. Next, there are egotistical lies. Lies that exaggerate or are used for flattery. These lies possess a secret ambition to make someone appear better than they really are. Lies of exaggeration tend to be sins of arrogance and ego. The final spark is criticism. Criticism is nothing more than unjustly passing negative judgment upon somebody. It involves murmuring and slandering. Now, I'm not talking about constructive criticism, criticism that is saying, hey, listen, I want to help make you better, and we're going to walk on this journey together because we have relationship together. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about stuff that's just slanderous and just criticizing, right? Unjust criticism is possibly the most devastating tongue spark in the lives of children, friends, and spouses. It sends a message that you're not good enough. You're not good enough. Number four, the tongue is dangerous. And in James chapter 3, verses 7 and the first part of 8, it says, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison, right? It is full of deadly poison. Now, I want to just, I read too far. That's okay. Not only is the tongue a fire, but it's a dangerous animal. It's amazing all the animals, us humans, have been able to train and tame in this world. Everything from domestic to wild. Anyone here know of Kevin Richardson? Anybody know who Kevin Richardson is? Kevin Richardson is the lion whisperer. All right, he's not the dog, he's not Caesar who can whisper to dogs. We're talking about lions here, big kitties. All right, and he provides sanctuary for African carnivores such as lions, hyenas, and leopards. Not only does he provide sanctuary for these dangerously wild animals, but he's actually walks with them and talks with them, scratching their bellies and behind the ears, and even sitting with them in the shade. Yeah, no thanks. Right, if that could make me a meal, behind a largely guarded fence, or maybe across the, or on the other side of the world, is fine by me, right? So we as humans have tamed dangerous beasts, trained animals to be actors, and found ways to communicate with animals through the art of sign language and other forms of communication. As humans, we've conquered nearly every mountain in the world, and yet tongues still run wild, unconquered and untamed. The tongue can be a dangerous thing. According to the cyberbullyhotline.com, it says 42% of teenagers with tech access report being cyberbullied over the past year. 42% of teenagers. 3 million kids per month are absent from school due to bullying. 20% of kids cyberbullied think about suicide, and 1 in 10 attempt it. 4,500 kids commit suicide each year. Suicide is the number 3 killer of teens in the U.S., next to car accidents and homicide. We've got an epidemic on our hands here. It's not suicide, it's the tongue and how we use it. James, the second part of verse 8, which I've already read, says, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, kind of like a venomous snake, right? I don't like snakes, so that's why I'm going to talk about snakes this morning, because they're at a safe distance away and I don't have one close by. But my kids always buy these stuffies that look like snakes and rubber snakes. I can't stand snakes, right? And it's biblical that I shouldn't like snakes. I mean, Satan came in the form of a serpent, so hey, that's, yeah. Right? I've got my biblical support of why I don't have to like snakes, right? But venomous snakes, do you know that there are basically 3 different kinds of snake venom? There's the hemotoxic venom designed to assault the cardiovascular system, right, of your body. And then there's the cytotoxic venom, right, that targets specific sites or muscle groups. And then there's the neurotoxic venom that attacks the brain and the nervous system. Now, in Psalm 140, verse 3, and I'll read it from the New King James Version. It says this, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Now, interesting that he says asps. The venomous poison from a person's lips is like the neurotoxins that affect your brain and nervous system. The paralysis has the ability to kill relationships, paralyze love, poison minds, stain a person's purity, and destroy a person's reputation. It is important to remember that just as a fire can be brought under control and come to produce useful heat and energy and other things, and just as an animal can be tamed, much like a horse can be broken in and can be useful for labor and transportation, so too the tongue can be tamed by God, but only by God. Number five, the tongue is disloyal. The tongue is disloyal. In James chapter 9, verse 12, it says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or grapevines produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Actions don't always speak louder than words. Your tongue can undo everything you do. Your tongue can undo it all. I've heard of people doing the opposite, saying, hey, listen, actions speak louder than words. And that's actually a misquote by the one who actually said it. Your actions still require words. Right, and I think it was in terms of evangelism. You know, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. That was completely out of context, that phrase. Listen, in order to be effective in evangelism, you have to speak. Your words are not your actions are not enough. You have to speak. Now, there are some times that your actions will be used in one indicator in one circumstance, but then your words are going to have to reaffirm those actions, right? When the Holy Spirit came on the disciples back on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just their actions that spoke, it was their words. See, that's how the Holy Spirit communicates. So we need to use the tongue and our words in a positive manner to preach the gospel, to mention the name of Jesus. Right? To mention the name of Jesus. Sometimes we just kind of like to get all universal and just mention God. Listen, is that what identifies us as Christians? Is the word God? No. What identifies us as Christians is the name of Jesus. The name above every name. And it is Jesus. It is Jesus. So use our tongues to speak life. Paul says in Romans, and it's just in the latter part of the verse, speak into things that are not. Declare the things that are not as though they are, as though they were, right? Speaking positively into things, not like trying to deny, but speaking God into those things. You know, my friend yesterday, I visited with Stephen at the reception after his wife's ceremony service, and he said, you know what, I don't know what God's plan is in all this, but I know that he is God, and I trust in him, right? One of the songs they had playing as they were showing Bonnie's video of her life was, God is good in my life. Powerful, powerful. People, let's use our words to build each other up. To build the church, to build up people in our community. Let's use words. Stephen also said to me that he had talked to his ministry team. He leads a ministry team called Devoted. And he said, listen, guys, he said, I want you to use Bonnie's name and I want you to talk about her. He says, there'll be some times that I'll be able to handle it And other times I might get emotionally choked up about it. But don't stop talking about her. Acknowledge that she lived. Power of words. Power of words. I was like standing amazed and thinking, man, Stephen, we usually give this counseling to people that are grieving. We never usually hear this from the grieving people. Right? I thought, wow. So remember to pray for Stephen, Connor, and Braden. They're going to need our prayers. Speak into their life. Speak into their life. Maybe there's some in your circles that need speaking into. Maybe there's some people that need the power of your words to carry on. See, our words have power. Our words distinguish, direct, and can destroy, can be dangerous and disloyal, but they can be used for lifting up, affirming. They can be used for building and encouraging. How we use our words has a great impact on others. How we use our words determines the impact when we go and tell other people about Jesus. Our words can be used to encourage and inspire. So let's use that. Let's use that. Our words can be used for praise. Let's use that. Our words can be used to speak life, not only into other people's lives, but into our life and into our situation. But also the opposite is true, right? Listen, I've in conversations with people, and if you've used this, I don't want you to feel bad, but I want you to change. I'd like to encourage you to change. It's not your diabetes. It's not your cancer. It's not your lupus or anxiety. It's not yours. That's what you battle with, but it's not yours. So stop claiming it over your life. If you got a problem with a blood sugar level, say just that. Yeah, I have problems with blood sugars. Yeah, my blood sugar is low, right? Or my blood sugar is high, right? But diabetes is not yours. Cancer is not yours. All these other diseases, anxiety, depression, it's not yours. So stop claiming it. It's not yours. I'm not asking you to deny it, that you're battling with it. Acknowledge the battle that's in front of you, but understand the power of your words. Because if you start claiming that over your life, you are going to walk around defeated. You're going to walk around defeated. Who are you? You are a child of the living God. You are not defined by your weakness. You're not defined by your temptation, your sin, your anything else. The diseases, you're not identified and defined by that. You are defined and identified by a living God who loves you and cares for you and will help you walk every day. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to call the worship team up. Our words have power. Our words have power. So let's pray, let's sing and celebrate together as we close it off this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. And Father, you gave us a mouth to use. And so, Father, forgive us if we've used that mouth in an improper way. If we've hurt others, we've caused discouragement or pain. Lord, forgive us. And so, God, I thank you that you are a God who listens to us, who hears us. But Lord, you forgive us and wipe us clean and cleanse us so that we can no longer be ruled by our past, but Lord, we can press on ahead and embrace the future that you have for us. So Lord, let us speak words of life over our lives and over the lives of others. God, I pray that even this week, that we would take careful inventory of the things that we say, Lord, and that God, we would be encouraged. Lord, for those that are battling an illness, battling a disease, battling a condition or a temptation or a sin, Lord, today I don't want anybody to walk out of here thinking, oh, I've used those words in the past and I must be even more of a loser. No, God, I pray that, Lord, as we are Christians, we're always learning. We're always learning, Father. We're to be students. So, Lord, let us walk out of here and say, okay, I accept that. I'm going to change how I speak over my life. So Lord, I speak life over everyone here today. Abundant life over everyone. And I pray for those situations that they battle. Lord, whether it be low blood sugars or high blood sugars, or Lord, whether it be a heart condition or a tumor or anxiety or depression or any form of mental illness, Lord, or Lord, maybe even just a past that's riddled with abuse, Lord. I just pray for those today that are needing freedom, that they would experience freedom today, especially those that are in the battle with sin right now, especially in the area of habitual sin, Lord, that just keeps dragging us down, and the devil keeps telling us that we're identified by our sin. Lord, I pray today that we reclean the slate, knowing that we can come before the Father. And as we mark up a whiteboard, you erase it. So there's no more evidence of it there anymore. And that we can be washed clean to go live lives that will glorify you, that will emulate you, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.